Hi, everyone. Attorney Jerry Bosch here with Bosch Law Firm and WorkCompExperts.com. For almost 30 years, we've represented Minnesotans just like you, from border to border and all over the great state of Minnesota, to ensure they're treated fairly and with respect when they've suffered a work-related injury. A work injury can change your life in an instant. Wage loss, medical bills, job insecurity, and the stress of trying to navigate a complicated work comp system on your own. You need someone in your corner who can help you focus on getting back on your feet and getting paid while you do. To make sure you're being paid all available work comp benefits for your injury, please call the attorneys at Bosch Law Firm anytime. The call is always free and there's never a fee unless we recover benefits on your behalf. Call 651-333-8300 or visit us at WorkCompExperts.com.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve.
Should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double S, anytime, man.
Christopher Mando Russo here. You are listening to Steven Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Steven.
Strom Sports Show episode 134 on the great TalkNorth.com. Steven Strom here. Great to have you in on this Friday morning, afternoon, night, whenever you may be listening, as I watch the snow pile up in the state of New Jersey. I know you're probably thinking to yourself, you Minnesotans, please stop complaining. What was this, the third storm? No, this is like the fourth or fifth storm in the month of February. So I was feeling very down and in the dumps about the snow and the cold. So I thought to myself, what's the best place to go to right now? And it's spring training. It's Florida. It's a Minnesota Twin. So Dan Hayes of The Athletic will join us in just a little bit here. We'll talk about spring training, what his life is going to look like down there. As we know that everything is on Zoom. Everything is different now in terms of covering a team. But the Twins are actually one of, I think, eight MLB teams that are allowing one-on-one interviews from a distance, of course. And I thought that was pretty cool. So we'll pick Dan's brain a little bit. We'll also get a feel for what players to look out for, because a lot of times there are these younger players that come up and play in spring training that may not make the team, but just some players to keep an eye out on. So we'll definitely pick his brain on that as well. Let's first start here with a little reaction, and we'll go basketball to start, and we'll get into the Fernando Tatis Jr. Contract that really just floored the entire social media yesterday. So let's first start with the Gophers and their loss to Indiana. 82-72. Gophers are now 13-9, 6-10 in Big Ten play. Let's just start from the game, and then we'll kind of look at the totality of their season and where they're headed. So number one, I thought that this was a guts game. Like, this is one of those games where Gabe Kauscher is out. You have to start your freshman, Jamal Mashburn Jr., who has played outstanding, and we'll get into him. Liam Robbins battling an ankle injury. Eric Curry gets two quick fouls. Gophers had 16 fouls the first 8 minutes. This is a team that's been terrible on the road. They are now 0-8. Just from that standpoint, this was a late February game where the Gophers just need to capitalize. They need to find a way to win this game. And this was, as I mentioned before, a guts game, meaning there wasn't a lot of easy buckets out here. Everything was contested. You had great defensive possessions from both teams. I thought Miller and Pitino, they sort of are in the same like realm when you think about coaches. Like, they're not elite. They're not in this top tier, but they're respected. They never can sort of get over that hump of other programs, I think, fearing them, right? Like, they know that the Gophers are going to give them a run for their money. You know Indiana's going to give you a run for your money, but you're not necessarily afraid of them. And I think that's where both of the coaches are at in their career. But from this game, you know, this was a really intense, good basketball game. If you like the physicality, we saw some choppiness between Brandon Johnson and another Indiana player. Overall, though, it's the same song and dance with this Gopher team. They go into halftime leading, and they get outscored 47-35 in the second half. Liam Robbins in constant foul trouble. And the problem with this Gopher team, game in and game out, is they go through these absolute gut-wrenching, brutal scoring droughts. Indiana, in the second half, went on a 9-0 and a 16-2 run in the second half. You only get one of those usually. A 16-2 run, you only usually get one of those, and you're out of the game. The Gophers were still in this game. They were winning at points in the second half. But they give up a 9-0 and a 16-2 run in the second half. You are not going to win games. And that is the problem with this Gopher team. You look at them, and you think certain possessions, you're like, oh, wow, this is they look really good. But they're too inconsistent. They're too up and down. The effort is there. The execution isn't. The execution isn't consistent. And it's frustrating. And you saw yesterday specifically, through these scoring droughts, Indiana, they really squeeze the floor in the half court, meaning everyone is playing in their gaps. Indiana didn't allow the Gophers to penetrate consistently. They force everything from the outside because we know how much this team struggles from the outside. Kauscher has had a really rough year. We know that from a shooting perspective. But other than Marcus Carr, where are you getting your threes from? Brandon Johnson couldn't hit the side of a barn. You had Jamal Mashburn, who played great. You had Trey Williams, who played great. But other than that, Indiana basically said, look, we're going to make you beat us from the outside. And we thought that it's not sustainable. And they were right. That's why I thought Miller's game plan was really good going into this. Yes, you were going to give up some buckets. Yes, you were going to give up some runs. But ultimately, basketball is really a test of sustainable offense. And for the Gophers, they don't have that. They just don't. Even with Kauscher, they don't have that. Especially from the perimeter. And that's sort of where the Gophers get stuck a lot of times. And yes, Mashburn and Williams, and I thought Carr, as much as Carr, listen, Carr yesterday shot 7 of 16. I'm not going to give him any slack because he plays so hard. Like, he just is such a competitor. He made a play in the second half that was unbelievable late in the game. He makes like a diving play, gets a steal, then finishes on the other end. I'm not going to, you know, sit and kill Marcus Carr. But you look at this team from the outside and they're perimeter players. You go 4 for 20 from three, you're not winning games. And Indiana went 7 of 12, right? They 58% from three. They only took 12, which is remarkable in this day and age. And then the Gophers are 20 of 29 from the free throw line. So the frustrating part about this team, as we kind of now look at the whole of this Gopher team, that is now 13-9, 6-10 in Big Ten play, and they could possibly be the first at-large team in NCAA history to not win a road game and make the NCAA tournament. Think about that. Like, you look at their resume, there are a few teams that can really match the Gophers' marquee wins. They beat Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa. Like, Michigan is going to be a number one seed. Iowa could be a number one seed. Ohio State is playing great basketball. That's a frustrating part because you look at the schedule and you're like, wait, you can't put together one win? So for the Gophers right now, as we kind of sit back and we look at their next couple of games, I think they do need to get to 16 wins. Whether that is beating, and they should beat Northwestern, and they should beat Rutgers at home. Their next game is at home against Illinois. I don't expect them to win. It's a bad matchup for them. Home against Northwestern, at Penn State, home against Rutgers. Now, they also could possibly reschedule their Nebraska game that they missed previously. But for right now, the best chance at a road victory, and the only chance as of right now, is Penn State. And I think they can do that. But Penn State is gritty. They do not sleep on Penn State. They play every team tough. But for the Gophers, I think that 16 wins is sort of what they should put down on the whiteboard when they walk into practice. 16 wins. And they're going to get a chance in the Big Ten tournament. I think they probably have to win one. If they win two in the Big Ten tournament, I think they're a certain lock. But if they somehow screw around here and they only have 14, 15 wins, I don't think they get in. I don't think you can put in a team that has yet to go on the road and win a game. And the only thing holding them up is how great the Big Ten Conference is, but at the same time, how much are you willing to bend? I mean, they were talking about it at the halftime show. Andy Katz was talking about how you look at a team like Indiana, their ACC Big Ten Challenge team was Florida State. They lost to Florida State, and for the Gophers, they drew Boston College, who is by far the worst team in the ACC. And Katz is sitting there and saying, well, it was almost better for Indiana to play Florida State and lose than Minnesota needing overtime to beat Boston College. And if that's how we're looking at things, like, the Gophers are in trouble. the Gophers are in trouble if that's how we're looking at things, because you look at their road losses. Did they lose by double digits last night? They did. So one game, they have one game on the road that they have lost by single digits, and that is Rutgers. Every other game, they've lost by double digits. So, look, I think 16 is the cap for the Gophers to get into the NCAA tournament. I think they're good enough to win a game, but I think if you're thinking they can win more than one, you're sort of dreaming. Just from a sustainability standpoint and the amount of star power, I don't think that they have enough to win more than one game. I pray and hope they do, because it's always fun getting into the tournament and having a game. But as of right now, I'm selling the Gophers winning more than one game, because right now they're battling for their life at 13-9. Their next game, Illinois at home on Saturday, which is tomorrow. And we know what happened last time they played Illinois. Let's segue into yesterday, and the Twitter world, the social media world went nuts. Fernando Tatis Jr. plays for the San Diego Padres. Just signed a contract. The deal is worth $340 million over 14 years. And it's the longest in MLB history. It is the largest contract awarded a player not yet eligible for arbitration. So the Padres didn't even wait. They said, you know what, we're signing this guy. And it's the third richest overall contract behind the $426.5 million over 12 years Mike Trout got from the Angels in 2019 and the $365 million for 12 years Mookie Betts receiving from the Dodgers. So I know what you guys are initially thinking. Too much money. Why Tatis? Why so early? Look at the players. Mike Trout and Mookie Betts aren't in the same stratosphere. I'm not defending this contract. I'm just going to justify it, because when you look at the $340 million, and all my friends did it, they all went in the group, oh my God, $340 million, guys played 146 games, 22 years old. When you look really deep into this contract, do you know how much Tatis is going to make per year? When you divide 340, and I'm no math whiz, but if you divide 340 divided by 14, you get about $24 million. And when you kind of hear $24 million, like, okay, that's not bad. Well, how much is the richest player making? And that is Mike Trout at $37 million a year. Here are the players making more than Fernando Tatis. Ready? Ready for these names? Jason Hayward, Justin Upton, Albert Pujols, Paul Goldschmidt, Joey Votto, and Buster Posey. Those guys are making more per year than Fernando Tatis. Now, again, I'm not defending the contract. I'm justifying it. Would I have done this if I was a Padres owner? No, I would not have done that. Do I think that Fernando Tatis can eventually be worth this? Yeah, I mean, you look, he is electrifying. He's got it all. I mean, he's got the bat. He's got the flair. He's got the energy. He's got the youth. He's got the, like, he has it all. Like, when you are trying to build your franchise around a player, Fernando Tatis is your guy. He's swinging at 3-0 pitches and hitting grand slams. He's on the face of MLB The Show. He's a tremendous player in the field. He's a great hitter. You look at his numbers. He's everything that you want. However, if I was the Padres, I probably would have waited, but I'm not going to kill them over it. Like, I really am not. I'm not going to kill the Padres over it. If you believe that your guy is Fernando Tatis and he's 22, and you know that the CBA is up, so next year we'll see what happens, if it goes the cap, all this kind of stuff. If your guy is Fernando Tatis and he's 22, and you know that, look, Mahomes, you lose, and I'm not comparing him to Mahomes, but Kansas City was like, look, we're going to have to sign Mahomes for a large amount regardless. Let's might as well get it done now, because if you wait a couple more years and the cap goes up and all this kind of stuff goes up, you're signing him for more. If you're the Padres and you believe that Tatis is your guy, sign him for $340 million over 14 years. I think it's just the timing of the contract, him only playing 146 games, and the amount of time on the contract is what the question marks are. I'm not going to sit here and kill the Padres for believing that this is our guy and we're going to lock him up and we believe in him. He's everything that we want. And the Padres are all in. I mean, they went out and got Blake Snell, Hugh Darvish. They're ready to go. Machado, Tatis. This is a team that's saying, Dodgers, let's go. We're ready. We're in the same division as you, but let's go. We're all in. So I wanted to also take a look at, because Twins fans, we know this, right? We signed Joe Mauer. We were excited. First couple of years, yeah, and then you kind of get to the back end. He gets older, and you're like, oh, man, that's a really bad contract, which can happen with this case. So I looked at how old Tatis is going to be in 14 years. He's 22 years old. You're younger than me. He'll be 36 years old. Here are some of the 36-year-olds that are playing and not playing in Major League Baseball, because it's always good to get a feel for, all right, he's going to be 36. Because we look at a guy like Nelson Cruz, he's 40 and he's still playing great, but that's a rarity. You know, Tom Brady, anomaly. Like, these guys that play late in their careers are all anomalies. 36-year-olds that are in Major League Baseball right now that are pretty still damn good. Justin Turner and Max Scherzer. You're like, all right, hey, 36 years old, Tatis, that's when his contract ends. If they're like that at their age, sign me up. But on the flip side, you know who else is 36 years old? Tim Lincecum. You know who else is 36 years old? Prince Fielder. Where are those guys? So, before we get to Dan, the contract, I am not going to defend. I'm going to justify. When you look at the AAV, right, the amount per year, they do that in hockey, doesn't look as bad. He's getting more. Jason Hayward, Upton, Pujols, Goldsmith, they get paid more per year than Tatis. So you're like, okay. But when you look at the length of it, 14 years, and then you look at the players at 36, and you looked at, hey, you didn't even allow the guy to go to arbitration. You really, then you kind of you kind of like, maybe you should have waited another year. Maybe you should have waited a couple more, you know, give a little bit more sample size, because he has just played one game. But overall, if you're the Padres, you believe that this is your guy, go for it. I am not defending the contract. I am just justifying it. Dan Hayes of The Athletic will join us in just a sec here, but you know support for the Strom Sports Show is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. I've been telling you about Manscaped. I'm using Manscaped. It's the greatest thing of all time. I love it. I hope they send me another basket. I'm almost like gone with it. You get deodorant. You get tools. It's fantastic. You get 20% off and free shipping with the code STROM, STROM, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped. And use the code STROM. Dan Hayes of The Athletic, here he is. All right, and Dan Hayes of The Athletic, he covers the Twins at Dan Hayes MLB, recurring guest. Love to have him. Love having him on, especially with baseball being around the corner. Dan Stevenstrom here. How is everything in snowy Chicago?
Very snowy. I'm looking at my back deck, and there's piles. We got 18 inches on the other day after having, like, I think 2 feet, like, in the last 2 weeks. It's been pretty brutal. So at least that some of it has melted, but man, I cannot wait to get to Florida.
Yeah. And we will get into that. We'll kind of get a feel for what spring training is going to look for you, someone that's covering the team, in just a little bit here. But let's first start with the hot, fresh news. And that is Brian Dozier retiring, longtime Minnesota Twins second baseman, 33 years old, a 9-year MLB career. He was selected by the Twins in the eighth round of the 2009 draft, and then made his debut in 2012, became a pretty big part of the Twins, you know, for seven seasons. He had an all-star appearance in 2015. He hit 167 of his 192 career home runs in a Twins uniform. What's your sort of reaction after Brian decided to hang it up and just kind of highlight some of his days with the Twins?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that his time with the Twins was when they were so bad. You know, I mean,
yep.
I think he's a great player and he had a great career and a media favorite. But you know, you look at the 2012 to 16 portion of his career, the teams he was on and yeah, there were a lot of Twins picking in the top five the next year.
Yep.
Years. So it's weird. He falls in that category where he was basically the guy for some really crappy teams. And so I wonder, like, I know Twins fans love him and he was a fan favorite, but But I don't know that the nostalgia will be there for him like it should be, just because of the era that he played in. You just think about the fans and how like the attendance dwindled during that period. It's not a period that Twins fans reflect fondly upon.
And no.
He was fortunate to get that 2017 wild card with the Twins. And, you know, he was a big part of that team. That was the second year where he hit 30 in a row and hit 34 for the club and got some MVP votes. But what was really cool was, you know, I mean, 18, it didn't go well for the Twins and they were able to trade him. He goes to the Dodgers, you know, gets to experience the postseason again. 19, ends up on the Nationals and didn't play a huge role because Howie Kendrick, I mean, you know, he got 482 plate appearances, hit 20 home runs. Sort of like a somewhere a little bit below average as far as the offensive production, but Howie Kendrick kind of had the big moments for that team, especially yep. in the postseason. But he gets a ring, and it was great to see him get the chance to celebrate, because you're talking about a guy who paid his dues. I mean, you mentioned it, you know, he went to college, so he was 25 by the time he broke into the big leagues in 2012. So he's always been on the older side of the career, and was hoping to extend with the Twins in 18 and never got a contract extension. They were worried that maybe when it happened would happen, that he would start to, that age would catch up to him. And he's a really healthy guy who focused a ton on keeping himself in great shape, but he fell off pretty quickly after the Twins traded him. And it's unfortunate that his career is ending and that, you know, his body kind of didn't keep up with him in the last couple of years. But he had a very good career and it's great to see him go out, you know, a year after winning a title.
Yeah, it's really well put. And he was, unfortunately on the Twins at a bad time. And I think for a lot of fans feel like this, when your team isn't in a postseason chase and you don't get a ton of attention, I think when your player, right, like your guy, when they go to the All-Star game, that's kind of your time. And I know it's one game, and Brian Dozier hit a home run, I'm pretty sure. And that was kind of very much, I think, glorifying, validating for Twins fans. Say, hey, this is our small town kid. Now he's on a big stage. Like, even though it was really a meaningless home run, it's still something that I still remember about Brian Dozier. And you're so happy for some guys that just, you never thought he would, you know, be an all-star. And now he's sort of overachieved. And like you said, breaking in at 25, that's really late for a baseball player. So nonetheless, a really nice career for Brian Dozier. As we segue into, you headed down to Florida. When are you going down? Are you driving? What's it kind of going to look like for with COVID? Kind of give us a feel for a journalist down at spring training.
Yeah, only 8 of 30 teams, or maybe 9 of 30 teams, are offering what the Twins are, which is distanced one-on-ones. So it's worth going. You know, I wouldn't probably do anything, especially just, I mean, at this point in the pandemic, I would probably ride it out and lay low if there was no extra access, but they're giving us it and I'm not about to pass it up. We haven't interviewed a player in person since mid-March last year. So just that ability to talk to people and be able to small talk, which is just impossible on Zoom, that's a huge deal. And so I am driving, because if you fly, the Twins want you to quarantine for 3 days and you only get so many hotel nights. So I'd rather than do that, you know, it's a 2-day drive, and me and Do Young Park from MLB.com are each taking our cars and caravanning down starting Saturday. So it should be interesting. And again, the access is great, but it's still kind of a Zoom world, and it will be partly, you know, a lot of time spent on that too. Restricted access. You're not going into the clubhouse. You're going to sit in the stands with guys or in the dugout, something like that. We're not quite sure how it's going to work, but again, you know, being able to small talk and, you know, just get a guy comfortable so they know where you're coming from versus just throwing the question at them on Zoom.
Sure.
And, you know, no follow-ups, that kind of stuff. Zoom interviews make the job so much more impossible. So this is pretty cool how it's set up.
I'm trying to imagine, and I'm laughing in my head, Dan Hayes, who is just freezing in Chicago, making that trip down to Florida, that two-day trip. I mean, that's got to be a lot more easier going down and driving than coming back with the way that Chicago's weather has been and how beautiful it is right now down in Florida.
No, I am extremely excited to the point where, you know, it's not like I'm going to have like banners hanging in the car as I race down the freeway that say I'm free. I won't do that. Because there is some guilt leaving the family behind. I'm the only one that's able to go here, and they're stuck here in the weather. So I can't be too enthusiastic. But the great part is that when I do come back, it'll be mid-March, and it won't be – February is, like, the worst in Chicago.
Yeah.
And you know, March still sucks, and April even to a point sucks too, because you're ready for the spring to really kick in and it's still freezing a lot of times and you still get snowstorms, but it's not nearly as bad. Like you'll get 40 to 50 degree days and you can break out the shorts and flip flops in March. So
yeah,
by the time I come back, I'll bring the Florida weather back with me and heat it up to like 52 and it'll be fine.
Well, wishing you the best of luck, and I am extremely jealous. Do you think that Nelson Cruz would have re-signed if the universal DH was passed?
It's a good question. I actually think the Twins may have had to move on, even though it was a great fit. I think that maybe the Atlanta Braves would have preferred to go with Nelson Cruz for 1 year versus Ozuna for, was it five that Ozuna got? Or was it four? Whatever the lengthy contract was for him to go back. I think Cruz was a really good option because Cruz is a leader, and I think they would have loved. And there's nothing – I'm not saying anything about Marcell Ozuna, but Cruz is, like, revered as a leader in the sport.
Yep.
And when you have Acuna and Albies and you have a bunch of young stars on that team – I mean, Freddie Freeman's a great leader too, but I would bet that Freddie Freeman would love to have an elder statesman come in like Nelson Cruz – because he is not a guy that comes in and threatens people, but he is a guy that brings the entire room together and everyone listens. So if the universal DH had been in play, I think that the Braves would have made a strong pitch for him and may have priced the Twins out. But the Twins were fortunate that that wasn't going to, you know, be the case. Who knows? It still may happen, which would be ridiculous. But, you know, baseball should have made this decision in December and it would have cleared up his market a lot more and been a lot more fair to him. But, you know, I mean, we're talking a handful of guys that were affected by this. So it worked out really well for the Twins. They get their leader, their guy back, and the anchor of that lineup. And that's a huge deal for them.
Ozuna, 4 years, $65 million, just to kind of give the audience an update on that. But I happen to agree as well. A couple more here, just two left. Any players that you're excited to see or a young gun that we should be excited for within the Twins organization that may not make the team this year, but just someone that you've had your eye on?
Well, you know, one guy that they've talked a lot about as making some leaps last year was Matt Cantorino. And you've seen him kind of soar up the prospect list. I think he may have cracked the FanGraphs. I think they had 133 listed on their top 100. And I'm pretty sure I saw his name at the end, college pitcher who they just like some of the development that he's made and big guy. That'll be interesting because the Twins are way deeper on the position side prospect wise. They have some really intriguing names. I love Yoan Duran. I love Jordan Balazovic. But you look at the group they have and it's not huge at the top with pitchers. And so Cantorino coming up is an interesting development for them because they need as much pitching help in the future as they can get. And this has been a team that in the past has not been able to develop pitching very well. You look
at
how the Twins have done. They've been fantastic on the position side and always struggled with the pitcher side. I mean, it's dominated the club history. Now, Jose Berríos doing what he's done has been a really positive thing for them. So because of that, you know, you look for the pitching side and Balazovic and Duran have been around for a while. And so to see Cantorino in person should be kind of cool just to get a sense for who he is. And, you know, it's going to be, like I said, an important thing for the Twins to develop him.
We're here with Dan Hayes of The Athletic, covers the Minnesota Twins. Last one for you. Were you more surprised Major League Baseball came back with the extra inning rule or left the universal DH in the dust for 2021?
more surprised they left the universal DH in the dust. The extra inning rule and the doubleheader rule to me make a lot of sense. I mean, look, NHL, I don't think anybody argues that the product has been hurt in the regular season by eventually getting to a shootout. I don't think anybody would argue that college football sucks that much with the overtime rule. I think anything that extends the old extra inning rule, basically just keep playing until the last team scores. Hey, that's great. But when you're trying to keep your players healthy, 162 is already a difficult proposition. And the way that teams use their pitching staffs these days, we've seen injuries crop up in pitchers and keep going. And anything to keep the product better, I'm good with. Maybe not to the extent where the NFL, like if you just tap your finger on the quarterback's shoulder pads, that's a roughing the passer now. Yeah. Maybe don't go that far, but anything to keep these guys healthy and on the field is a good thing. And I think, it brings some strategy into the AL game. With the DH, there's none. And with this now, you have chances to bunt. You see more strategy thrown in the AL game than you normally would. And I kind of dig that. Like, do we just play for the one run or do we try to score three? It's obviously wildly different if you're the home team or the away team. So all of that to me, I think is a positive comparatively. And so I'm all for it. The fact that they didn't bring back the DH is kind of just, it's going to be tough. All these pitchers are going to have to get ready to hit. And they don't want to hit anyways. You look at the numbers, they're pretty awful. I used to be more pro National League and no DH and having two varied leagues. But you look at the numbers and, man, I can't say the National League was hurt by having the DH last year. It was kind of fun. I sort of think MLB dropped the ball on that, but, it's something that I think we'll see in the new CBA. I just think the game's trending that way and anything to make games shorter is better. So all for the 7-inning doubleheaders and starting the guy in second base, as long as we revert in the postseason, as long as, you know, and that's all that really matters to me.
Dan, excellent job as always at Dan Hayes MLB on Twitter. Make sure to check out his articles at The Athletic. Have a safe trip down to Florida. Enjoy the sunny sun. And we will talk to you a little bit later in the season. Thank you, as always, for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Dan Hayes of The Athletic. As always, thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the Strom Sports Show on Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Rate, subscribe, review. Always appreciate it. TalkNorth.com. If you want to advertise with the show, my show, any of the other shows on the network, contact Jim Suen. He is on our site. Everyone have a fantastic rest of your Friday and weekend. I'll talk to you next Friday here on TalkNorth.com.